The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. There's a tragedy that seems to be unfolding in the reading today, a tragedy that we can find pretty much anywhere we go in our lives. We can find it in the corridors of government. We can find it in our educational system. We find it in work environments. We find it even in our families. And even in church, we find this kind of stuff. And Jesus is trying to get us to think about what this tragedy is when he begins to speak about a parable. And he phrases the parable by saying, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. So Jesus immediately gives us a context in which to look at the story of two men in particular that are going to the temple. They're both on what we call common ground, equal ground, mutual ground. And the Pharisee is really a very righteous man. I mean, we tend to slap the Pharisees around and criticize them and argue with them and all that in the New Testament. But generally speaking, the Pharisees really, really were very religious people. They were very religious men who were very dedicated to Torah, to Talmud, to all the wonderful things that were available. And they tried to be righteous and they tried to be good. So we have this Pharisee who's in the temple and he's telling God all the things he's done. He's standing there saying, I'm so happy that I am the way I am, that I give money to the church of St. Timothy's. I am so happy, just a little curve there, very happy that I am not like other people. I mean, I fast every week. I do all kinds of good work. And he says, and he looks at the other guy that's over there and I say, I'm glad I'm not like him. And so what you get is a kind of an insight into this person who is really righteous and really good, but seems to be consumed with himself. He's not just righteous, he's self-righteous. In other words, he's all about him. And as he begins to pray and he begins to tick off all the things that he's done and all the things that he's worthy about, he uses God not as in a relationship, but he uses God just as a validator. God is just there to validate that everything that he did was good. And so he doesn't even really talk to God. He just says, you know, I happen to be in the presence of God, and God, I know, will approve of all these things that are happening and all these things that I'm doing. So one of the things that comes through is that this very righteous Pharisee seems to divide the world into two things. One of them is those that are doing the right things and those that are not doing the right things. Those that are in and those that are out. Those that are good, those that are not. Those that are righteous, those that are not righteous. He begins to see the world in two parts, the good and the bad. And he bases all of that stuff based on what he does and based on his following of the law, based on what he's following in terms of traditional understanding. And what he's doing there is he's beginning to see the world in black and white. And all those people that do the same thing that he does, they're in the club. And all the other people who do not do what he does, they're out of the club. And so he has this bifocal way of looking at the world. And so Jesus compares that guy, this very righteous guy, this very religious person, to the guy who is very, very unreligious, a tax collector who's on there praying. And he has a very narrow but a wider understanding of what he's doing. His understanding is narrower because he's focused on himself. He says, my God, forgive me for what I've done. His hand is pounding against his chest and he's asking God to forgive him for all of the things that he's done. And he's not in a place to judge anybody else. He's only concerned by himself. And then, because he's so caught up in his own sin, he looks for a real relationship with God. He's asking God to forgive him. He's looking to God to make a difference in his life. He's looking to God to make him right. And Jesus, what he says is when they go both home, the tax collector will be justified with God. Which means that you're made right with God because he included God in his relationship. He was looking to God to make things right. But you see, whichever way you judge this parable, whichever way you judge either the Pharisee or the tax collector, you can get trapped in this particular kind of parable. Because when you look at one over the other, you're already judging. And it kicks you out of the parable. Jesus has these wonderful parables. Because what he's trying to make us to think is that the way we live our life, the way we're religious or the way we're not religious, all these kinds of things have to be rooted in relationship. You know, we have people that are very smart, people that are very well educated, people that have positions of power, that after a while, maybe some of them don't even look at the common person. They don't even see what the common issues are of our lives. Maybe when you're out of the workforce, suddenly you feel like you're not worth anything. You feel as though you're not producing anything. You feel as though you're not valued by people. People will tell you, you're old. Why don't you just go into your one bedroom and stay there with your slippers on? You know, that kind of stuff where people feel like, I don't have anything to contribute. That's because you're taking on the identity of society that says, this is what you should be. Just like the Pharisee who's taking out all these religious rituals the way he should be. And so he takes that on and he feels as though he is everything that he has to be. And Jesus is questioning that. Because Jesus is questioning the root of your faith and the root of your trust, whether it's something that you do that you're supposed to do, or is it based on the relationships that you have with people? And especially a relationship that you have with God. And this is why they're both in the temple. This is why they're both on common ground, because they are both bringing their view of life and they're confronting God. And they're asking, one is asking to be validated in what he's doing and what he's been doing as a righteous man, as a man who does all the religious things and saying, I am better than. Or there's another guy who says, you know, I didn't do all that great. I'm sorry, forgive me, but at least you're the only one that can forgive me. That's the common ground. That we have to look for God, who is the only source of relationship and the only source of validation in our lives. Not what we do, not the positions that we have, not the degrees we hold, not the money that we have in our bank, not our youth, not our strength, not our health. In God is where everything is supposed to be reminded and grounded. This is a joke. I went to St. Cathedral's in New York City. There were two guys there. This is Billy and Joe, okay? So Billy was praying, and he's asking God, God, I just need to make the rent. I just need a couple of $100. Can you help me out, God? And then the other guy, what was the other guy's name? Joe, thank you. You're paying attention. Joe is on the other side, and Joe says, God, I need to make these contracts. My company is going to go down if I don't get a couple of $1 million. I mean, I'm really, really in a mess. I've got to be able to pay salaries. I got to be able to take care of my employees. I got to pay all the insurances and all that. And then Billy is saying, God, I just need a couple of $100. You know, I just got to make rent. And so Joe comes over. He reaches into his pocket, takes out a couple of $100, gives it to Bill and says, look, don't bother him. He's busy with me. He's got more to take care of, you know. So get out of here. But you see, the point of the story, I think, is that we tend to look at people and judge them by our own accomplishments, by our own sense of success, by our own sense of power, by our own sense of wealth, or whatever the case may be. And that is not what the gospel is about. Jesus is telling us that the only thing that matters is the relationship you have with God and with the way the relationship you have with people. Because there's nothing in the world that's greater than having decent relationships with people that love you, trust you, that you can relate to, relate back to you, that you have some kind of real bond with. In our lives, we're separated by color, sex, money, education, positions. I mean, this is what society will tell you. If you're not this age and if you haven't made that much money, my God, you know, where are you? Where are you? Right? Just go to, some countries tend to really accentuate this. If you go to Japan, for instance, the competition in Japan just to get into school is so high. We read about thousands of kids that commit suicide because they cannot get into those schools, because if they don't get into those schools, they cannot get the jobs that they want, and their parents are going to be embarrassed about them, and they are going to be failures. They're wasting their life because they believe that this is the only value weight of success. Now, India is becoming the same way. India is also very competitive. They want their children to get the best education, and so they send them to the best schools. And if they don't make these schools, what happens is that they feel like a failure. You are not a failure. No matter what you've done in your life, you are not a failure, because there's no other bar of measure except God himself. Not anything that society is looking at you and saying, you ought to, you must be, and you cannot. This is a falsity that Jesus is underlying in the parable. that the greatest thing that we should have and the greatest thing that we should focus on is a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. Because that is where life is, that is where healing is, that is where meaning is, and that is where true living is. Outside of that, we get caught up in the game of life. If you play the game, you either win by the rules or you lose by the rules. But if you're in the gospel and you're into Jesus, you play with the rules. And you'll always win. Because you're free. You're in relationship with God. And the rules are something that you can choose to buy or play with or be part of if you want to. But they do not define you. So Jesus today is challenging us. Where do you find your strength? Where do you find your value? Where do you find your sense of justification? Is it in your job? Is it in the money in the bank? Is it in some, you know, inheritance that you have in the back somewhere? Or is your true value in the way you love each other, the way you respect each other, the way you honor each other, the way you look to God to fill your life with meaning and trust and goodness? This is what really matters. The worst thing, and you've seen it, I've seen it, and I have friends that do this. They're so religious. My God, they know the Bible inside and out. And you know, they quote Bible to me, usually the King James Version. And I forgot that. I don't use the King James Version anymore. I used to, you know, when I went to seminary, it was like King James. Everything was King James. Now I always forget it. I don't even remember what the words are. But they quote things to you, and they think because they remember texts in their mind or dogma in their mind that they somehow have power, that they say somehow they're righteous, somehow they're better. And you find yourself missing the person. You find yourself not talking to anybody but a spewer of words. Somebody who is just, you know, categorically attacking you with words instead of a real relationship. And you find yourself not talking to anybody. And they're talking somebody else's language. They're talking somebody else's ideas. They're sharing with you some other ideology. They're not talking to you from the heart. They're not sharing with you who they are, where they are, what they've been. Isn't that what we want? We want somebody to talk to us from where they are so that we can hear and learn and share and experience and respond back with who we are. I don't want to talk about with somebody about all theory. And yet this is what we do. We speechify. We talk to each other. We talk past each other. We say things that we think are correct. We say things that we think are going to be impressive, that are going to make someone say, wow, what a smart person that is. And yet we say nothing. We touch no one. We're not touched by anyone. You see, the gospel is about making you real. It's about making you authentic. It's by putting you back in your body, back in your time, back in your space, back in your history, so that you speak out of that. You are the only voice that can witness who you are and what you see. You are the only voice that can give light to the reality that God has put through you and life, and he wants to live that through you in that moment. So you have to be faithful to that witness, faithful to that voice, and not co-opt it with some other narrative that's around you, with some more, perhaps some kind of dogma that dominates you. You see, I hope that St. Timothy's is about making people authentic. I don't care if you talk the gospel. I don't care. I want you to live it. I want you to love it. I want you to be the person that you are. Because when you go to heaven, God is not going to ask you, why were you not Moses? Why were you not Mary? Why were you not, you know, he's going to ask you, why weren't you Eric? Why weren't you Bill? Why weren't you Father Ed? That's what he's going to ask you. Because our lives are missed. Because we get caught up with everything else. Why do we give it up so quickly? Why do we dispense our responsibility, dispense our own reality for somebody else's? Is it that painful? Is it that scary? Are we that afraid? Jesus says today the most important thing is a relationship with God and relationship with each other. You do that and you'll get to heaven, okay? You can quote Bible all the way to hell if you want. That's not going to save you, believe me. What will save you is how you treat your brother and how you love the homeless and how you care about the person who's not well off. This is what God wants from you to do. Not all of this religious hoo-ha. He wants you to be real. And if you do, you'll really be happy. I think so. And then when you speak, it's like a light that comes out of the world. That authentic light that suddenly beams out. That has been bursting, trying to come out like a flower for so many years out of that ground that just kept you down. Let that sun call you out, brim with all of who you are. then you can truly respond to God in that loving voice that only you have and the one that He alone wants to hear from you. Amen.